Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Today we're going to be getting into some biblical cosmology. What does the Bible say the shape of the universe and the cosmos? What does it look like? Is there a universe? Are there cosmos? Things like that. But it's going to be scripture-based today, and then also some evidence that, you know, the enemies have provided for us to show that, you know, it's not what they say it is. But how you doing, nobody?
What's up, homeboy? What's so funny, dude? I'm excited to see you.
So aggressive. The mic shivered for a second.
Yeah,
the mic
did.
Was like, whoa.
Yeah, dude. And Mike knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm good. I'm chilling. Quite literally chilling. It is freaking cold. And yeah, dude, this is a topic that so many people get it. I don't know. They get so uptight about it. It's not one, like, this isn't my hill to die on, but I think it's important, right? Like, we have certain things in prophecy that I think this is going to help people to understand what's happening, like the firmament rolling back like a scroll, yeah. You know? Yeah.
This does seem to want to be a topic that has like some very extreme camps.
Yeah.
Like, especially on stuff, like on aspects where we can't prove one way or the other. That's where you seem to have some of the hardest stances when it comes to like biblical cosmology. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of like in scripture. It's like the thing that you can't prove one way or the other, people have the hardest stances on.
That's a really good point, man. It's an odd phenomenon. Yeah. But I'll tell you what's interesting is, like, in this walk, some people take it so serious. I remember there's a girl we used to fellowship with, and one day she's like, yeah, I got to talk to these people and share the gospel of flat earth.
Oh.
And I was like, what the heck is that? What are you talking about? You know, I was like, hold on, we got to have a talk, you know, yeah. Like,
this ain't the main point to get across.
It'd be like, yo, that's a subcategory.
That's a subcategory.
Yeah.
Okay. So like back in the day, whenever I first started getting into, like at that time, it was just straight up flat earth, you know, theory and stuff like that. Once I came to the conclusion that, like, oh, look, NASA's lying to us about the shape of the Earth, my research just kind of ended there, because it just doesn't affect my day to day.
Right.
Like, animals still need to be taken care of and fed, and like, you still got to go to work and stuff like that. No matter the shape of the Earth, you still have to get these things done. So it's not something, like, once I've kind of came to the conclusion, it was like, that was good enough for me. And after that, I was like, all right, well, some of these other things that I don't fully understand, I guess, don't really matter. Stopped looking into it. Like eclipses, for example. That was one thing I never really had a flat earth answer for. But if just one of these arguments that we're going to present today is correct, then it disproves what NASA is saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it disproves at least the lies. And I think there's still a lot to understand about it, because I agree, like, that's one part that I got questions about still, you know. Yeah. But like, yeah, nowhere like in like Enoch, what, 72 through 82 or 84, does it define eclipses and how they happen? And it doesn't seem to be part of the natural movement that Yah set forward, you know. So it's something different, and I don't know what that is exactly, but I'm like you, like, once I found out, I was like, oh, tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. Oh shoot, that's crazy. No,
I wasn't
way
like a big space nerd before that or anything like that. Like, I wasn't like super obsessed with like rocket ships or astronauts or anything like that, so it wasn't much of a heartbreak for me. Also, kind of grew up in like a conspiracy household, so already pretty well understood that everything's a lie.
Yeah.
For the most part. So it wasn't that big of a leap to discover that, like, oh, they've been lying about this too. But I almost forgot. Before that, if you have a testimony you want to give or you have any questions or comments or anything like that, shoot us an email at exiled. Oh, snap.
What? Oh, what?
Oh, we got fancy up in here.
Yeah, oh, man.
Nobody made us some little cards that fly up on the screen. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you saw that too.
You're welcome.
Dang.
Not you, but everybody. Everybody's welcome.
There's the email. If you're watching, and if you're on audio, remember we have a YouTube channel, but exiledstrangers@proton.me, that just popped up on the screen. Shoot us an email.
That did. And guess what? Bam!
Oh, dang.
Everybody like and subscribe, please. Now. Now. Let's get it over with. Just press it with your finger. The stinking, stupid little button.
You know you're going to keep listening.
Yeah, and even if you hate us, come back and get more angry.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Tell us. Leave us a comment. Don't be a coward.
Yeah. Don't be all soft about it.
Oh, man, but, that's funny.
Yeah, you can also leave comments in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube, or do whatever you want to.
Oh, yeah. You're listening. You can say nice stuff, too. That's fine with us.
That's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be mean. But, all right. That being said, let's get into the points for Flat Earth. Do you want to start with yours, one of yours first, or do you want me to start?
Well, maybe, if you're okay with it, we go over some of the things that NASA's doing, right?
Yeah.
And then we get into what scripture actually says. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's see what that not a space agency's doing over there.
Yeah, they're crazy. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pull this up. Oh, goodness. Gave me a little more options than I was ready for.
Yeah, yeah, the share button on Riverside.
Okay. Loop. Yeah. Whew. Man, Riverside, you keep me on my toes. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is on NASA.gov. And this is an example, right, of kind of what they're doing. Now, if everybody takes a step back and actually, you know, sees their narrative for what they're really trying to say, rather than the words themselves. And what I mean by that is when we go down here, this mission, OSIRIS-REx, they give a little quick introduction to it, right? It says OSIRIS-REx is the first U.S. mission to collect a sample from an asteroid. It returned to Earth on September 24th, 2023, to drop off a capsule with material from asteroid Bennu. After dropping off the sample capsule through Earth's atmosphere, the spacecraft was renamed OSIRIS-APEX and sent on a new mission to explore asteroid Apophis in 2029. So here's their statement, right? They're just giving us like a play-by-play, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll say this. When I read this, I see OSIRIS, which is synonymous with Nimrod. Yeah. Rex is Latin for reigning king. So Nimrod, the reigning king, right? Bennu is the Egyptian deity for resurrection. Yeah. So Nimrod, the reigning king, will be resurrected to bring about the apex, or the, you know, the high, not high point in a glad or happy way, but the, you know, the apex of Apophis, which is chaos, destruction, and darkness. So they're using these things and they're speaking dark sentences. You know, this is the enemy's way of, you know, I don't know, like putting it out in the open right under our noses without even, you know, without 99.9% of society even understanding what they're seeing. This is Bennu, the false deity known for resurrection, right? He was a self-created being, said to have played a role in the creation of the world. You know, all this stuff, whatever. There's a bird. That is neat. Interesting. He wears this little hat. You can kind of, going back to this, you can kind of see a resemblance of something like that in this depiction. I don't know what the heck this is even supposed to be. I guess this is supposed to be their, like, I can make that.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can go to the Restore, you know, the Habitat for Humanity, and pick up all kinds of used goods. That's like a washing machine, that's an exactly old satellite dish.
That's a washing machine. The three wings around it are just sides of washing machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's like a, you know what that is? That's a, one of those Swiffer mops.
That's
yeah. That's
the cone on the front is a used wok.
Yeah. Man, oh, by the way, I'll look, dang, that does look like a used wok now that I'm seeing it. It's flat on the bottom. I love cooking in woks, by the way. Man. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, you ain't cooking in that one. That
nope.
one's on a movie set.
Yeah.
They even left a handle on the wok in the bottom of it.
Oh shoot. It's right there. Oh, that is so funny.
Oh man.
Oh man. So, all right. So that's cool. Whatever they're putting it out there. This is like they're speaking in dark sentences and, you know, expecting nobody to pick up on it. But they name these missions for a reason. Like yeah. these are the deities they worship. For
but you would also have to assume that, like, if you disagree with that, you would have to assume that they just so happen to come up with these names that just so happen to spell out like dark sentences.
Right. Right.
It's highly coincidental that all of this is on accident and it's saying these things.
And it's interesting too, like pairing it to what happened. Oh, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But pairing it to what happened, like Nimrod, the reigning king, will be resurrected to bring about the apex of chaos, destruction, and darkness.
Yeah.
In 2003, we sacked the tomb of Gilgamesh and took the body, as well as the cuneiform like resurrection tablets.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, these things shouldn't match up.
These people must be like, man, how many different ways do we need to perform this ritual?
Right. Like, this is exhausting.
We've spent billions of taxpayers' money. And we
like, you'd think the occult would be more laid back. Man. Well, so check it out. This year, they're setting up Artemis II, right? Who's going to fly by to test Orion's system. Which is very interesting if you look at the book of Job, right?
Yeah.
Which we can pull that up in a little bit. But Artemis, right? Artemis, here she is. She's a sister of Apollo, which is interesting looking at the other Apollo mission set that they had. Another thing that's interesting, Apollo is also synonymous with Nimrod. It just never ends. And like Rob Skiba used to say, like all roads lead to Nimrod.
Yeah.
It's super frustrating. I don't know, dude. Like, it's just like, I just hate it. It's so sucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's like in every aspect, it's all just like Nimrod worship when it comes to like NASA and what they're up to. And yeah. trying to bring about the apocalypse. What is up with these people? What do they think is going to... I would love to know what they think is going to happen in those times.
Bro, that's a good question. That is a really good question. Because I'll tell you what, like, it's not going to be good.
No. No. Like, for everybody, it's going to be, to some extent, crappy.
Yeah, especially for those that are trying to plan out and carry out wickedness.
Yeah, who is lying to these people? Who is telling them that, like, is it directly demons or is it like, what is going on?
I don't know, maybe all of the above, you know? They're like, don't worry, you're going to be fine. Like,
it's like they believed the story enough to do it, but they didn't finish the story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's getting crazy, though. What was the... Did you have more that you were going to present on that point?
I mean, I think that's... That should be enough, right? Like, for anybody to be like, oh, shoot, this government entity is worshiping all these false deities, right? And if I'm not mistaken, like, their NASA headquarters is like the Temple of Apollo. It's mirrored after that. I mean, the first dude that it was like the head of NASA was like Wernher von Braun, the Nazi dude brought over in Operation Paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
Which he knew he was trolling everybody.
Yeah.
Trolling everybody. His headstone, Psalm 19, verse 1. Like, it's it's pretty ridiculous, you know. Like, it's literally on his headstone. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of Elohim. The firmament shows his handiwork." Like, why? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why would he do that?
Yeah. And if nothing else, everything that you just presented, if nothing else, just discredits NASA. Or, at the very least, makes them look suspicious.
For sure. For like sure.
Yeah. It for sure just makes them look suspicious. Like, okay, why are you doing these seemingly demonic rituals and whatnot? Or pagan rituals and everything.
What gets me is that there's people in this walk who... have read the different writings, especially through Enoch and stuff, and still believe that NASA is true. And they still go to NASA as an authority figure for, you know, the shape of creation. It's like, why?
As if the creator didn't know what shape he created everything.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so Genesis 1... 6-8, and Elohim said, "Let an expanse come to be in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And Elohim made the expanse, and this separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it came to be so. And Elohim called the expanse heavens, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning the second day. Clearly, like, there's a separation. There's water, and then there's an expanse to separate the waters from the waters.
Yeah.
Like, that right there, if you believe, you know, scripture to be true, that right there shows that it's not the shape that NASA's prescribing. It's not the shape that NASA is saying that it is.
Right.
Because in no way does that whole situation explain, like, a globe model at all.
Yeah, absolutely not. And that's what's so interesting is I've even heard people go down the argument, well, there's not waters up there anymore. They all drained out when the flood happened. And it's like, okay, one, that doesn't turn creation into a globe and throw us into a nothingness. And two, who said that they all drained out? You know,
all of it?
Yeah. Who told you these lies?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, dude, the weird appeals to authority and to I heard a guy say once, like, it's just, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
And just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, people's imagination sometimes is a pretty worthy adversary, you know, yes, in your own mind.
Some of these people turned it into like Dungeons and Dragons and like created these different realms and whatnot.
Right.
Like, we don't know. Like, could there be these other realms? I don't personally know, but neither do they.
Like, right. That's a great way to put it. You know,
it's just a weird, hard stance to take. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the episode, is like, you'll find these different camps and these different factions that take these hard stances on something that nobody can prove one way or the other. It's like they had an idea and then they're just defending this idea with no evidence backing any of it.
Right. Yeah.
And get super like defensive of this idea.
And it's as if the hope of that idea outweighs the responsibility to the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so strange.
It's very well put. Yes.
I can't explain it. And every time we encounter it, it is extremely frustrating. But even then, like you mentioned the other realms, like we know of like two different things, right? There's like if you want to call it a realm or whatever, but there is a spiritual side of things with stuff happening that we can't physically see yet. And our physical reality that we interact with every day. But like, if there's other realms and it's, I don't even know. There's like orcs and elves and stuff, just since you brought up like D&D earlier. That'd be a trip. That'd be pretty weird. But he didn't tell us about it. Can he make anything he wants? Sure. I'm not going to limit him.
No.
But dang. dang.
Whose image were they made in?
Yeah.
But yeah, the realms that I was referring to were like, I think it's like we're all on this like flat plane with domes over it. And okay. Almost like a checkerboard. Like there's all these different realms and these different domes next to each other or whatever. And we don't have I guess that's what like interdimensional travel would be. According to them would be
going
to these different realms and stuff like that. It's just a really, really hard stance. It's like as if they were stuck in a room with a couple of buddies and they just kept smoking weed.
Yeah.
They got this idea. And then like after they did weed, then they did shrooms and got emotionally attached to this idea and then won't let it go.
Interesting. I think that you nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. But like a lot of people don't realize like enthusiasm is not evidence. Like just because you're enthusiastically presenting a topic doesn't mean that you have any more evidence about this topic.
And yeah. I could say stuff super loud.
Yeah.
But you know, like it's probably going to be a bunch of gibberish.
And doesn't make you any more right or wrong.
Right.
You're just loudly saying things.
You're just letting everybody know you don't know what you're talking about.
Everybody.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, I'm comfortable with living in the left and right limits that the Father gave us. Like, I don't need more than that right now. I have plenty to focus on that he's given us. I haven't mastered this walk. So until then, like, I'm not going to reach past what he's given us and try to, I don't even know. Again,
there's still things that he's given us that are within my arm's reach right now that I don't understand.
Bro, 100%. There's mysteries in this world that my mind is still like, what the heck? There's like 8.4 billion people on this earth, right? Something like that.
Unless they're lying, but yeah, somewhere around there.
Billion, right? That's a lot of people. And yeah. I can't find me a suitable wife. Think about that.
Also, you gotta look. Nobody's also expecting one to just fall from the sky, being plucked up by the head, falling from the sky and land directly in his arms.
That'd be great, man.
I understand that.
What a blessing that would be.
You got to go outside, though, buddy.
I'd be like, shoot, you like to just do farm stuff, too, and like get away from society? This is great. What a match.
You got to go outside, buddy.
Where's the recluse Torah observant people dating site?
Here, exiled strangers. <full-time.me>.
wait, hold on. What was that one? Can you say that again?
All the single females hit up nobody. I'm married, so don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even try it.
Don't even try it. But don't even try. Nobody here is single, ready to mingle.
Well, you know. Anyways.
in a totally Torah compliant manner.
Yeah. I had so much on my mind before you said that, and it just kind of threw me off. Like, yeah, don't sign me up for some shenanigans I'm not ready for. You know what I mean?
I'm like, signing you up. Everybody, what's that one Beyonce song? All the single ladies, hit up exilestrangers@proton.me.
Anyways,
you have no idea what nobody looks like or his name, but you know what he's thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
All right. We'll leave that and pretend that was a positive note. But
it is a positive note.
Okay.
Yeah. They know the most important values too, you know, buddy.
Look, I can shoot good. Shoot
good. Yep.
I can start fires.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Do other stuff really good too. Yep. You know?
Yep.
So yeah.
All right. Yeah, Operation Fishbowl. Unless you got something.
No, man, let's go on to the fishbowl. You're stressing me out over here, dude.
I'm just trying to get you hugged up, bro.
You know, dang. Dang. Here we are. It's 2026. 8.4 billion people on the earth, and there ain't no.
All right, we got to get this shit back on course. we're about to have a meltdown over here.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right.
Operation Fishbowl. This was when the U.S. Army was like, let's shoot some nuclear warheads up into the atmosphere. Now, they claimed that they were just shooting them up in the upper atmosphere and then just detonating them. There may be some like whistleblowers or something like that from this operation saying otherwise, but the official statement is that they were blowing up these warheads like in the upper atmosphere and everything. Now,
if not you were to, wait, hold ahead. Up. Like they're thinking on this in the way that they narrate it, right? The way that they are saying they did it. Bro, like wasn't that a concern that just setting off the first one on the ground would ignite all of the atmosphere around us? Wasn't that like one of the concerns they had? 100%. And they're like, oh, it didn't happen. Let's send it up higher.
Yeah, let's get closer.
Let's just see what happens.
We need more atmosphere around it. Hold on. So, yeah, but it just seems super risky, like just in general. Like, this is a big bomb. Let's shoot it way up there.
What does that phone call sound like? Mr. President, we no longer have a moon. We're sorry.
Yeah. Like, that would be also really cool show of force. Be like, yeah, well, we blew up the moon, dude. You're going to send us that oil. It's going to be crazy show of force. But if the army's full of guys, you know it came up in conversation at least a few times to hit the moon.
Yeah.
At least a few times.
And if that was the case, like with all the insider trading, someone big in government would have invested in like a flashlight company or something. Yeah. Prior to it, you know. Just been super rich.
So if you have like a detonation in the atmosphere, you get like typically like equal pressure in all directions, creating like a sphere, right? Am I right in thinking that?
That's the way it plays out in my mind.
Especially if there's like equal, as long as there's like equal pressure all around it, it's going to create like, you know, an even sphere. But when we look at some of the detonation photos, let me pull this up. When we look at like, okay, this detonation photo, y'all seeing that?
It clearly
looks like you have that center impact zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hits something flat, and then you get a ring working its way across that impenetrable surface. But this is apparently like one of those bombs going off in the upper atmosphere. And if you're saying like, oh yeah, it is a sphere, we just don't see the light in the center of it because we're looking straight on, what we're seeing is the edges. That's not how that would work. Like,
right.
It should be bright. Then explain this one like singular dot in the center. And then it should be brightest in the center, you would think.
Yeah.
Like the sun, for example, its edges ain't brighter than the center of it.
No, and if they're saying that this was just done in the upper atmosphere, they're like, hey, send up one of those sideways blowing up nukes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Our shape charge nuke.
Yeah, like I get that we have munitions that can like, you know, we'll send out, you know, directional pattern, you know, shrapnel right. and whatnot, but not a nuke, man. Yeah. Like that's just big boom. You know, that's what they're going for. Especially back then.
We're gonna drop it in the city and we only want the left side to blow up.
Yeah, right.
Oh man. But yeah, that just doesn't. And then here's another video that shows it in slow motion. And I'll go ahead and hit play. And then you guys can see. Remember, it is in slow motion, so everything goes slow. But you can see there's like a ripple effect going on in the center of the circle. But you can clearly see that it hit something and then it's moving its way out. Similarly to like the way. Like that wave comes out after like a ground explosion.
Yeah. That totally.
Same thing as doing here. You get like a whole big, looks like calamari.
Yeah, it's following the path of least resistance. Like if it hit that impenetrable dome.
Yeah.
Then yeah. I mean it's wild, dude.
Yeah. But yeah, these different operations. Like, were they trying to see what happens if they could, like, penetrate the firmament? Is that what they were trying to do?
I think so, because during that one speech, old Hillary Clinton, she's like, we're going to get through that dome one of these days, you know?
That's crazy.
Why would you say that? You know what I mean?
Dude. It clearly ain't there to be brought down.
Right. Yeah, they tried.
They shot so many bombs at it, dude. It wasn't just like the two that I showed you. It was like they shot a bunch.
Yeah. Like there's another writing and I'm trying to remember which book it is. It might be in the Book of Jasher, right? So Book of Jasher, again, I don't subscribe to is fully accurate. There's a lot of things that have no secondary witnesses and it's disproven in some other areas, but interesting read, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to say in there, they said when the Tower of Babel was being built that they like shot arrows up into the sky. Yeah. And Yah was like, oh, let's mess with them. Let's send them back down with blood on them. Like they got us, you know, and then he goes and just wrecks house and distributes everybody all across the world.
Oh, man.
I find that funny, yeah. You know. I find that really funny, but the truth of that, I don't know. I wasn't there at the Tower of Babel, but.
Dude, okay. Let me just list the attempts. This is in the category of first attempts. There's Operation Bluegill. There's Starfish. There's Starfish Prime. And then Bluegill Prime. And then they put a pause on the operation. A Bluegill Prime, apparently, it, like, blew up on the launch pad or something like that. Like, it failed.
Oh, shoot.
So then they took a pause, and then they did Bluegill Double Prime, Checkmate, Bluegill Triple Prime, Kingfish, Tightrope, and yeah.
Interesting names, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the fish names in general. I don't know. Is it because there's waters above the firmament?
Maybe. Now, it does look like some of these included, like each one of these operations may have included multiple detonations.
That's so many attempts.
Dude, so many attempts. Like, it's just, what were they doing, dude? What are we trying to do here?
100%. And like, okay, so let's just say, and we all know scripturally, you can't penetrate the firmament, right?
Right.
So, but just for the sake of asking a question, if they did, what was their next move? Like,
dude, I don't know. I don't know what their next move could have possibly been. Like, if it's Dude, I don't know.
Did they have boats ready in case the water poured down? You know what I mean?
Enough.
They I'm just
big ones. They ain't got, dude, they ain't even kind of ready for that.
Like, yeah.
For there to be a hole in the firmament and all that water coming through.
Oh, dang. Man. See, that's just wild. People are wild. No wonder. No wonder. You know, Yah has so much trouble with those that are stiff necked and turn their back towards them, you know, because they're not just like, no, I'm not going to follow you and just living a peaceful life. They're launching nukes at his firmament. You know what I mean? Like multiple times.
For sure.
Do we have, oh, you know what? I forgot the SpaceX launch that like skips across the firmament.
Oh yeah.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, so like another thing is like, the math that they provide for us doesn't add up. Like,
yeah.
So if we're standing on a sphere and we look straight out, we're supposed to lose 8 inches squared per mile that we go out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So if we're like standing on the sphere, we're looking straight out, for every mile forward from my point, I'm supposed to lose 8 inches squared of the horizon. And it just doesn't work out that way. Like if we go to a body of water, which water's A, always going to find level. So how does that work on a sphere? But yeah, it's always going to find level on a sphere that's rotating, apparently. So that means that all the water would... Have you spun a wet tennis ball before?
Dude, it would be chaos.
Yeah, it would be... Yeah.
Mankind would last 5.3 seconds.
If that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's their math just doesn't add up. Like if I go to a body of water and a ship starts sailing straight in a straight line away from me, like, and we get to the 10 mile mark, I can still see the boat. And then we get to the 25 mile mark and I pull out binoculars and I can still see the boat. And then it gets to like, the only thing that ever gets in the way of seeing the boat is the atmosphere between me and the boat. It's the only thing that goes away. Like, yeah. I can still see the point of contact between the boat and the water. And that's just not how that's supposed to be. I remember watching this one study that this British dude did on the canals in England that are, like, and some of them are super, super straight for miles at a time. And he puts this flag on the back of his boat, and then he tells his friend, like, hey, put your little telescope up or binoculars up, like, literally just above the water. Like, just enough to not get it wet. And then he just, like, went forth on the canal. And at mile after mile, no part of that boat ever disappeared.
That's wild.
Yeah.
See, there's other line of sight experiments that have been done, too, with, the bases of mountain ranges. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you're a certain distance from them. And, you know, it's just like, you'd think people would hear this, and it's easy. You can easily test it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like if we can see with, what is it? That certain Nikon camera, if we could see the stars doing some stuff that we're never told or, you know, that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I would say that we could easily test this all for ourselves, but I think people like to sit in a comfortable lie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And for those of you that are thinking like, oh, 8 inches squared, like that's not much. Well, the first mile isn't that much, but eight inches squared is like, the second mile is 8 times 8. So that's 64 inches. So just on that second mile, you're supposed to lose 64 inches of like the lowest point of whatever object you're observing.
Is that how that math maths?
That's how that math maths.
Dang, son.
Yeah. Every mile is 8 inches squared. So first mile, 8 inches. Second mile is 8 times 8, 64. Third mile would be 64 times 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like mile 3 should be insane. But pull out a pair of binoculars and I'm good to go again.
Yeah. And people are like, see, we tested it. It's not true. And they're like, try it like this. The earth is pear-shaped. But that's, you know what I mean?
Doesn't matter.
But they keep coming out with this stuff.
So with their math, they tell us that the circumference of the earth, like on average, is 24,901 miles, because they also claim like it's pear shaped. It's got an hourglass figure. Yeah, but 24,901 miles in circumference does not equal the math that's given for the vision drop for every mile. Like 24,900 miles does not equal 8 inches squared per mile. I believe I didn't, it's been a while since I've done the math or anything like that, but I believe the required circumference for that 8 inches squared of drop per mile is somewhere along like 200,000 miles in circumference.
That's wild.
It's like way, way off. It's way off. And if you go to either extreme of like that pear shape, none of it is even close. So the 8 inches or the inches squared per mile drop should be way, way steeper given the circumference that's given for the Earth.
That's so just
their own math ain't even right.
You know, you would think, I think what it is honestly is just people just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I used to be. I didn't care until I did. You know, I remember my sister was the first one to bring it up to me, and I laughed in her face. I have since apologized for that. And I admitted my lack of understanding and being a real jerk. But, you know, yeah,
I remember bringing it up because this was at a time where I was working nights and there was a lot of downtime. So we had time to like research and stuff like that and just like goof off, mess around. Like we had to monitor, you know, certain things, but other than like being in front of a computer screen, there wasn't much to the job. Especially in the middle of the night. But I remember going down this deep rabbit hole and then like I showed my dad, and I was like, "Hey, the Earth might be flat." And he's like, "Yeah, probably."
That's the best response.
Like it wasn't like anything that he was like he wasn't for or against it. He just was like, "Yeah, oh yeah, they probably lied about something else." Yeah, that checks out. And then I presented it to my uncle, who is like super mad that I even brought up the topic.
Yeah.
He was an uncle that I worked with. He was like mad that I even brought up the topic. And then the next day he built this full blown diagram proving that it was true. And it was like, you could tell like we worked nights and you could tell he didn't get any sleep during that day. This was like a 12 hour, it was 12 on, 12 off. And it was like a 12 hour period where he just didn't go to sleep, I'm pretty sure. And he spent all his time building this diagram proving that because the math wasn't working out for him as far as the circumference and the 8 inches squared per drop or per mile drop.
Yeah.
Like the math wasn't working out for him. So he was like, screw this. I'm just going to build it, and then built it and then proved that it wasn't the case. And then we both presented it to my other uncle who owned the company that we were working for. And he got so mad.
At the topic,
dude.
Yeah.
I remember it was being like, I just remember being embarrassed for the dude. That's how mad he got over this topic. Like, man, you shouldn't feel this embarrassed. Like, you shouldn't feel this mad about this topic, dude.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. That is tough. But that's like what we were talking about in the beginning, that emotional connection to these things.
Yeah.
Because everybody, like, a lot of people, not everybody, a lot of people grew up watching the space launches, and they're connected through these different instances because, you know, they felt like they're a part of something, mm-hmm. you know? So I can understand that aspect, but it's just, that's tough, man. It's tough to get through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just, I feel like especially Americans have an attachment to space and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're supposedly the only ones that went to the moon, and which,
bro,
I don't know, man. I'll say it's possible just because it's right there.
Yeah,
if it's not gas.
I think that they've proved that they didn't, though, just based on the fact that the lunar lander had the same technology as like a happy birthday card that sings you happy birthday.
Yeah.
And as well as their cover up, they're like, oh, we lost all the data we had on how to do this. Yeah. So that's why we haven't been back yet.
Right. We wrote over it.
Yeah. Oops.
And other stuff that was more important. We heard Napster was failing, so we had to hurry up and download our music.
Oh, shoot, man. That just took me back.
That was before my time. My time was LimeWire, which would put a virus on your computer so fast.
I used that too. Yeah,
dude, LimeWire destroyed more computers than I think anything. Well, maybe not anything else, but yeah,
I never
so many computers.
I never had a computer until I got older. So I'm sorry to everybody that I downloaded music on their computer because I wasn't aware of that.
Wrecking them.
Yeah. Oh boy. My bad.
You're good. But okay, so
I didn't ruin your computer. I'm saying my bad to everybody's computer I ruined.
So
thank you though.
No problem.
Such a forgiving friend.
I got you, buddy. I forgive you for the computers that you may have ruined.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as like the what would be the goal? Well, like, what would be the benefit of the enemy convincing everybody that, you know, the Earth is a globe model?
I mean,
so you can easily argue that, like, yeah, see how big and expansive the universe is. Like, you're nothing to anybody. You weren't created. You happened on an accident. Look how vast everything is. And stuff like that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thing I can see.
I would agree with that for sure. And it helps to push the evolution approach to creation. And then honestly, yeah, you nailed it, man. Like feeling insignificant, like you're not a unique creation that has a loving heavenly father, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Making heaven ethereal.
Yeah,
man, you nailed it. Good. That's good. Thanks, I think I fully agree with that.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, that's the only reason I could see, like, cause if you have a flat earth, or just like one with a dome over it from whatever its shape is.
Yeah.
Like if you have that, then you cannot deny a creator.
For sure.
Like, right? All right, something clearly put us here and built this around us. Like this just doesn't happen on accident. Where you could, in just using a bunch of words, try to explain that away using like a globe model and stuff like that. Even then, with the globe model, you still can't argue that there's no creator. Mm-hmm. But it's just easier to make that argument in just the vastness of the globe and the universe and space and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Earth or the sun and the moon are within the firmament. They're not thousands and thousands of miles away. And stars are messengers.
Yeah.
You look crazy underneath that camera.
They all got names. And I do wonder, like, because I've seen different, especially the sun and the moon, I've seen different kind of explanations on where they sit amongst the firmaments. And I think I still do think that it's within our firmament. Like, it enters in through gates, like Enoch says, and runs its course, right? Or however that looks, you know, I only can understand it to a certain degree. But even if it's like outside of the first firmament, I'm cool with that too. Like it's not hurting me at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things like, all right, it ain't a globe.
Right.
That's right. Just kind of like where it's just not a topic. I guess it's just not a topic that I get like super amped up about anymore or try to figure out some of the more details, like with the eclipses or like which firmament all that stuff is in. That all that just seems minor to me now.
It is. Yeah.
Which, I don't know. Maybe I'll have like a sparked interest in it later. There just seem to be more pressing topics than that. for me at least. Now, that being said, I know there's some people that are super passionate about this topic, and this topic was actually what brought them into, like, you know, this walk and everything, and that's awesome. Sure. All I'm saying with any of those statements is that just, I get it. They've been lying.
Yeah, but there's certain things too, like just using like reasoning, you know, with the stars, you can see like that water effect on them, but you can't see that on the moon for certain, you know, and then, you know, so there's certain things that I can be like, oh yeah, yeah. Like that would lead me to believe that, it, you know, as you do, that it comes within our firmament, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there that video of those amateur rocket people that like bounce the rocket off the moon or something like that? Or is it off the firmament?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was off the moon and it made this big like bell sound.
They I don't think that was amateur. I think they say they crashed a satellite into it and that it did that and it rang out. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, like I'm like, okay, weird flex, but I'm not, it doesn't really affect me, you know.
No, the theory that gets me more excited than flat earth theory is like hollow earth theory.
Okay.
That just seems super, I don't know, if anything about like, I don't know, it just gets me super excited. Like, yeah. I think that's like maybe an aspect of it that we just like not enough flat earther people kind of look into. It seems to be like another either or camp whenever I'm thinking could be a combination.
Well, yeah. I mean, like Enoch mentions that there's like what, four sections underneath, like four cavities inside the earth. But like then you have like Tartarus too, like the prison of the angels. And then, I mean, dude, there's probably a whole lot. Well, no, not probably. There is a whole lot below us. Like, think about that. Like, the womb of the earth, Sheol, you know, housing all the dead. And then, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows what kind of, well, maybe I should. I don't know. I'm just getting kind of crazy, but who knows what kind of creatures, you know what I mean?
That's like, what I was thinking.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there's some weird funky stuff and like firsthand reports. And could these be like manifestations of demons? Like, yeah, it's totally possible. But could there also be other parts of creation that Yah has made? Like he made Leviathan. Yeah. He made Behemoth.
Yeah.
You know, could there be also just other things that we just haven't seen, you know, that is kind of like cavernous dwelling or however you want to put that. Yeah, I don't know. That's a trip.
Or what, like, you know, experimentations the enemies like tested on down there.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, they have like what, the unlimited budget and then.
You got Man Bear Pig.
Yeah.
Was that one cartoon? I forget the, oh shoot. Well, I'm about to put it up on the screen and edit.
Okay. Yeah. The Man Bear Pig. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who even knows? I mean, they got, who even knows? Like Dog Man, they got Bigfoot, they got all these different monsters. And then people like coming in with, I mean, dude, okay, that podcast channel, The Confessionals, they're on like episode what, 700 something? You mean to tell me 700 people all just imagine this?
Just crazy.
Just crazy. I mean, I believe there's a lot of crazy people in this
sure.
world.
Sure, yeah.
All of them are lying?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It only takes one of them to be telling the truth for us to be like, all right, we should check this out.
But, yeah, like, hey, this is a concern. Yeah. Like, you mean we can't go camping and leave beef jerky packages open? Like, Bigfoot's going to come up and jack it? Like, come on.
You mean the bear isn't the worst thing I could come across?
Yeah. Dude, for some reason, every time I hear Bigfoot, I always think of Littlefoot, that little dinosaur from that cartoon movie, Land Before Time. Yeah. I'm like, that would be such a charming creature to come out. You know? Look at this.
Come across Littlefoot than Dogman.
Yeah, be like, look at this little Nephilim puppy. Just come right on out.
Eating leaves.
Yeah, you little herbivore. Oh, man. I'll make him a salad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I'd help him out. I'd try to ride him, probably.
Okay. Yeah, dude. Why not? We make friends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the other stuff, I ain't playing with that.
Mm-mm.
Full mag dumps.
Full mag dumps and head removal, dude.
Yeah. Like we're making sure.
You want to know the real reason I carry around a pocket fixed blade?
Yeah.
It's just in case.
Dude, I don't know, man. If the head's as tough as those sheep, oh, gosh.
Oh. Dude.
I don't mean to get off track, but dang.
Those sheep. You had to use a bullet to hit a bullet.
Bro, I would... I'm at the neck when we were trying to take the head off. Like, oh, we're processing. We're not mutilating animals. We're eating them.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just had to say that. But dang, man, I was exhausted after trying to get that thing off.
Yeah, those Rambouillet sheep, they're tough. They got some thick skulls and some thick like necks.
I was very impressed.
Tendon, like there's a lot of like silver skin and tendons, like. Strong attachments in their necks for sure. Because what, like, you could on a like normal sheep, if you're popping the head off, dude, I popped the head off pigs that weren't that difficult.
Bro, the last sheep that we did with your dad, it was so easy.
Yeah.
Like, they came right off, and I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised at how easy it was. These other ones, I'm putting everything I have into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this isn't budging.
No.
Like, we need a saw. You know?
Like, yeah, those
this
heads,
is bad.
They were like, they're just like reinforced. Like, they were born and then rammed everything.
Everything.
It's like they couldn't stop running until they ran into something.
Just enforcers, all of them.
All of them. Yeah. They're just playing air hockey all over the pasture, up against everything, bouncing off everything, just hitting it with their neck.
Yep. So that being said, we run into a dog, man. It would team effort that thing if he's got a thick spinal cord.
Yeah, we're gonna have to figure some stuff. We got to figure some stuff out real quick if we come across a dog, man.
Yeah, it's like I heard the funniest quote. Everybody out there, forgive me right now, please. I'm asking your forgiveness beforehand. I saw the funniest quote in I forget what show it was, but there it was after a battle, and they're all rejoicing and drinking, and he's like, yeah, when they came out, he's like, I was like, which one of you cowards crap my pants? I was like, oh, dude, that's so funny. But yeah, that's going to, if you hear a scream, that's a battle cry. All right. Don't even get it twisted.
Dude, there's the name of the book, Dog Man Pooped in My Pants.
Oh, shoot.
Dog man pooped in my pants.
Oh.
So I had to behead him. That's how that went down.
Whoever wrote that has got to have one of the best senses of humor. Like, that is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Oh, man. But yeah,
anyways,
the earth ain't a globe. It's been a lie. It's a lie that's been pushed for quite a while now. Also, it's been pushed to kids right now in public school. Every classroom that I've ever been in had like a globe of some sort. Also, like, okay, here's another thing. If you look up like flight paths and you overlay those on a globe model, none of the flight paths make sense. You're like, this is not a, if we're in a plane, that means there's not that much, like, there ain't roads up there. There's not like a whole lot of traffic to worry about. We can go pretty much in a straight shot wherever we're trying to go.
Yeah.
But on the globe model, none of it lays out that way. But if you overlay the flight maps on a flat earth model, then they all make sense. Then they're all like, oh, wow, this is a direct path to where I'm trying to go.
Man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, because I've been on a couple different overseas flights, and some of them I've been like, well, this is like the same distance on a map from my other flights, but this is taking like twice as long. Like, it's crazy. And they're like, oh, we're going against the wind. I'm like, shut up. No, stop it. This is an aeroplane. You know, you're cutting through the wind, bro. And you got big old engines.
Yep. Big old engines.
Big old ones, man. I was like, it doesn't look like they're working that hard. I mean, it's, you know, this is just a long journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
and then as far as the rotating, okay. So shouldn't, given how fast the Earth is going, shouldn't traveling east to west, shouldn't there be a time difference going east to west than from west to east?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. Hey, that's a good point.
Like, because as soon as you're up in the atmosphere, you're no longer going the same speed as the Earth. If you don't believe me, drive down the road, throw a tennis ball in the air, and see if it comes back down to you in the car. It won't. Because as soon as it left your hand, it's no longer going the same speed as that car. So as soon as you leave the Earth, let's say you're in a helicopter. As soon as you leave the Earth, you're no longer, like, outside resistance is working on you. You should no longer be going the same distance as the Earth. So it should be super easy to travel as long as you, like, line it up appropriately and get your timing right. You just jump up into the air, Earth moves around you, you land, and then next thing you know, you're in China. And then you do it again, now you're in L.A.
Dang. And you know, at the very least, you should save on gas money in one direction.
In one direction, yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah. But no longer, no matter how long that helicopter just hovers,
yeah,
it's not, you know, going anywhere else.
Bro, it's, you know what? Everything we do disproves it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why they have to make up theories.
Yeah. 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 And then, like, people talk about, like, Coriolis effect. Like, I haven't... have you known any sniper at all to actually, like, calculate that into their shot? The rotation of the Earth?
To be fair, I haven't known many snipers.
Yeah.
But the couple people, either marksmen, or, you know, however you want to phrase it. I knew one guy that was, like, actually, like, sniper school guy. Yeah. I've never heard him talk about it. Now, someone could argue, be like, well, okay, well, shots he had to take. Perhaps he was in an environment that was, you know, not ranged like that. But, yeah, I don't know.
It seems it's something that's taught in all these different classes. It's like you take the training for the job, and there's all this extra detail in the training. And then you get to the job, and it's like, oh, we don't do half that stuff that's in the training.
Right, right.
That's what it seems like with the Coriolis effect in, like, the marksmanship training versus real life. It's like they don't actually seem to calculate these things out in real life. So there's that, but also just having a Coriolis effect doesn't prove that we're in rotation. There could be, like, just different effects of, like, the magnetic field depending on your geographical location. Which there's a big argument for, like, electromagnetism versus gravity.
Sure.
But also electromagnetism route also leads to, like, free energy. So it kind of makes sense to not admit electromagnetism and then invent this new thing called gravity that they just say that we know nothing about. But electromagnetism we know quite a bit about and fills the role of what we say gravity does pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say that makes sense. And that's how we're defining it as humans, right? Like, and
yeah,
it just, you know, however that looks, it's just simply that the Father said, hey, your place is to stay on the Earth. Yeah. So I'm going to put these things into effect that this is just what you're doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, however we try to figure it out. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that an electromagnetic, force of some sort would make more sense according to, like, you know, how Yah does things. It's his power that puts everything to effect in creation. But, yeah, super, super interesting as far as that rabbit trail.
Yeah. Maybe that's some future rabbit trails we do is, like,
yeah,
the hollow earth theory.
Yeah.
And then, like, electromagnetism. Like, with the hollow earth theory, I wonder if there's obviously, like, there's Tartarus, there's Sheol, good and bad side of Sheol, stuff like that. But I wonder if there's like a layer between us that's still considered like the top part.
Hmm.
If there's like a hollow shelf that we're on top of, but then there's like some tunnels and channels and stuff like that between us.
You just want to go fight monsters, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it, dude. I'm your teammate. So I'm not talking trash. I'm making sure we're on the same page.
I think when That's we get all. Down to the core root of it, yeah. I think I just want to go fight monsters.
Yeah. Like, and I'm with you. All right. All the way, man. We need swords.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing. We need some swords. Yeah. We need to hit up Cold Steel and be like, hey, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
They'd be down.
Oh, for sure.
They'd be down.
For sure.
All those crazy blades that they come up with, they've been waiting for this.
Shoot, man, let's reach out tomorrow. Because now that you say that, like, yeah, they'd be super down.
Yeah. Yeah, I need one of those Nagasashi things. It's like a blade on the end of a pole.
Oh, yeah.
So that way we can get some momentum up when we're trying to chop that head off. Kind of like a big old battle axes.
I mean, like, think about David beheading Goliath after he bonked him in the head.
Yeah.
Like, he would have had a thick neck. You know what I mean? That's a big old boy. Yeah.
Was it like a one clean slash or was it like hacking?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, excuse me, I'm pretty sure it's referenced as just like a simple cut, but let me try to find it.
David's a beast. He did that all. We can't get a sheep's head off. He overpulled the Nephilim head off one clean swipe.
Yeah. He's like, no big deal.
Dang. Man, we're a bunch of wimps. Current humans today just are weak.
Yeah, we need to really get our act together.
Yeah, what do we need to do? Do we need to get on that Ezekiel bread diet? Have you tried that bread?
I haven't, no.
Ain't great.
No.
Ain't great. It tasted like a bunch of baked bird seed.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of textures involved.
And why do so many people like that?
They don't. Nobody likes the bread. They just want to make people think they like the bread. That's it. Nobody likes that bread, dude. Dude, it's like the worst part of every food of getting all the like the seeds stuck in your teeth. That's what the bread is made of. It's all the seeds that get stuck in your teeth.
I hate that.
Welcome to Ezekiel bread, dude. Nobody likes it. Everybody pretends they like it so that way they can tell other people like, oh, yeah. Dude, the only people buying that Ezekiel bread in the freezer section of the store, you know why it's in the freezer section? Ain't that high of a rotation on there because it sucks.
Okay.
B, whoa. It's just so people can virtue signal like, oh, yeah, we eat Ezekiel bread.
Okay. All right, dude. I'm sorry I asked. Forgive me, sir. You know, dang,
I'm a little heated. My mom used to make me eat it as a kid. I'm like, I'd just rather.
Like, I'm going to just sit over here and starve.
there were so many things my mom tried to feed me. Like, I wasn't a picky eater, but there were a lot of, like, herbal remedies and stuff like that my mom tried to feed me growing up. And, like, it would taste appalling. Like, yeah. Some of the worst flavors ever. And yeah. She's like, it's good for you. As if this little kid is going to care that it is good for me when my mouth is just, yeah, suffering.
Yeah. Long-term health is not in the forefront of your mind.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, no, this is a punishment.
No part of my 8-year-old mind is like, oh, yeah, I'll suck this up because it's good for me.
Right. Right.
My only thoughts are like, wow, this sucks. And that's what I thought about the Ezekiel bread.
Well, I haven't tried it, nor will I ever.
You should try it once just so you can see how much seeds get, how many seeds and grains get stuck in your teeth.
I ain't a bird.
Well.
Okay, I'll try it once, man. My bad. I didn't mean to shut that down. Yeah, I'll try it.
You're going to be a bird after you try it. Man.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the earth is fixed. We should hit up a couple.
Yeah, let's hit up some scriptures.
A couple things. I know we got on a little, you know, a little ranty rant.
Isaiah 40:22.
Yeah.
It is, he who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. But yep. Clearly says circle of the earth, right. Not a sphere, circle of the earth.
And there's just certain things that just make sense. Like if you just close your eyes, picture what's being read, you're going to pretty much picture something like a snow globe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying that it's exactly that, but it's like that. And the firmament being stretched out as a tent. I mean, come on, let's think about it. You know what I mean? That's it's dome like. Yeah. And so when Yahusha returns and the firmament rolls back like a scroll, because this big 1,400 mile square city needs to come down through it, like, and every eye is going to see. And some people will explain that, be like, yeah, we have news. We have the news. And I'm like, really? That's really where you're going to go to? The same thing. They say that with the two witnesses. But there's the news, so everybody will hear it. Like, one, if you think the news is broadcasting truth at any point in the future, you're crazy. But two, no, everybody's going to see it, because that firmament's going to roll back. Everybody's going to crap their pants, and there's going to be a huge city coming down.
Yeah. Yeah. were you going to read a scripture?
I mean, I think it's pretty, I don't know, maybe I'm just being, you know, just being me here, but I was thinking that was pretty straightforward, to be honest.
Yeah, you only need like one of these like strings that we presented to be correct in order to just disprove the globe model.
Yeah.
Like Job 28:24, for he looks to the ends of the earth, sees under all the heavens. A sphere doesn't have ends. It's a circle. And another circle. It's a sphere. It's a bunch of circles. But it, like, it doesn't have any ends. Like, we're told there that, you know, clearly there's ends to it. Yeah. It is what it is, people.
Yeah, sure is. You know what? I think that's enough. Like, the earth is fixed. It's on firm foundations.
Like, yeah, that's another one. It ain't moving.
He's looking down on us. He's in the seventh heaven. That's why or the seventh firmament. That's why he's called the Most High.
Yeah.
Like, he can see, like was just mentioned there about the grasshoppers. He can see us. Mm-hmm. And I think that has added so much more responsibility. Once I understood all this and I'm like, oh, woe is me, because you know, everything is on display for the Most High, you know? Anyways, I'm whatever he says is the truth, and I don't care what anybody else says. Like, it's
facts.
Yeah. I think it's, you just have to make a decision. Are you going to believe the creator of everything, or are you going to believe, you know, people who have been known to lie over and over and over,
like continuously lying?
Yeah, that's on you. I mean, Wernher von Braun was a Nazi that got brought over Operation Paperclip. The Vatican has the world's biggest telescope, and it's called the Lucifer. It's called Lucifer. Like, what the heck?
Yep. Which, that Lucifer telescope was actually one that my dad went and visited when he was, like, in Arizona. I think it was Arizona. Visiting. Yeah, it's Mount Graham, isn't it? Where they have that?
I don't remember, but it sounds right.
Sure. But it's like on top of this mountain that the natives viewed as like sacred, and then they like kicked them off and then put this Lucifer telescope on there because it was super important that this Lucifer telescope be on this specific mountain. Dad went up there to one of the like the tours, and they opened up the telescope, they look at the sky and they kind of show like everybody whatever the observatory type tour is.
Yeah.
And then he starts asking like some specific questions about like in some books that that telescope has shown up in. And then they like try to get him to walk back into this one room. And then Dad's like spidey senses start going off. He's like, nah, I ain't going back in there.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what would, oh my gosh.
Dude, he was for real. He was like on the way into the room and then it was like he just did an abrupt U-turn. Like, nah, yeah. This can't be good.
No part of that could be good.
Yeah. But at first he was all giddy. He was like excited. He's like, yeah, stump these fools.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like looking and then realizing like, oh, this is kind of a private room to be inviting me into. And yeah.
Dude.
It was interesting.
Who knows what they had in store?
Dude, who even knows? They could have had the Men in Black little flasher thing.
Oh, shoot.
Had some
oh, no. Oh, no.
Who even knows?
Oh, before we get off, Can I please bring up a topic?
Do it.
That, okay. So some freaking witch left a couple stones at the corner of my property.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Two stones at the corner. And I saw this car pulled up. We were on a Bible study, our group. And I was watching through the cameras, parked in front of my house. And then it backs up to the corner, kind of behind some trees. I could hear the car doors open and it was parked there for a minute. And then I hear the car doors, you know, again, someone getting in. You could hear the audibly. And then they drive off super calm, you know, super slow. After the Bible study, I go out there and I look and there's two white quartz stones right next to each other on the edge of the road. At the corner of my property, right? And I was like, what the heck? Because there is no, like, it's not like the people across from me have a white quartz rock driveway.
Yeah.
It's a field of cows.
Yeah, there's no quartz around you.
None. So, like, someone placed them there intentionally. And I was like, okay, I know that, like, white quartz is used in witchcraft. But also, you know, there's been a few reports in some areas of, like people that want to burglarize a house will leave it as a marker. And I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of weird out here where I'm at. People should know better.
Right. they got a death wish.
Yeah.
Trying to do that where you live.
Yeah. Especially if they've scoped out where I'm at any bit at all. Yeah. Like if they've just spent 5 minutes and like, I have so many different methods that, I mean, that would take some time to decide how to address the situation. But outside of that, like it is what it is. And then I'm driving the next day. So I kicked those rocks right off out into the woods. Like I was like, nope, you know, like I ain't letting this witch stuff stay established right here, you know? And obviously praying to the Father too, but the next day I'm driving, I'm fueling up my truck with some gas and I look in the bed of my truck, there's a third white quartz stone. And I'm just like, what the heck? You know, this isn't the first time that something like that's happened.
Yeah.
Somebody else left me a little present, a little over a year ago, under my truck. Yeah. It's a thing, I guess. But If anybody knows anything about these white quartz stones and how, you know, I'm not asking for an explanation on how to do witchcraft, right?
No.
But as brother to brother or sister to brother, if anybody has insight into this or has experienced that same sort of thing, let me know. Please write it in the comments or you can email too.
exilestrangers@proton.me.
I wasn't ready.
Dude, my bad.
Say it again.
exilestrangers@proton.me. Shoot us an email. Or like if you know what kind of an attack that might be too. That would be helpful as well.
Yeah, because there's only so much that I want to research into that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to know how they do things. I just, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's more identifying and then, you know, hey. We're just in it as far as the warfare goes.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Nothing else since then, though.
That's good. That's good. They were probably like, dang, you got those rocks so fast.
Bro, and you know what? We were on a study, right? And I was like, the Ruach, I think, prompted me to look at the cameras.
Yeah, because you don't, just stay looking at the cameras.
No.
It's more of your dad thing.
Yeah, the Ruach just, was like, yo. Well, I'm not saying the Ruach talks like that, but the Ruach was like, look at these cameras, right? Yeah. So I did. And yeah, sure enough, you know, left a little present. anyways, yeah, it's real. You know, there's seriously agents of the enemy out there hard at work. They're working harder than most people are on this side of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was that one, he was like an ex-Satanist or something like that, who can converted to Christianity and was like, if Christians took their faith as serious as Satanists, this wouldn't be an issue, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. And hey, I mean, I guess that's a message to all of us just to step it up.
And I wonder how many of those people kind of turn to witchcraft because there is structure and order and stuff like that to it.
Sure. I think that's a great point, bro.
For there to be structure and order and rules and stuff like that would make sense in order to get into the, into the kingdom.
Right. Because mainstream church, when I grew up going to church, it was we show up on Sunday. We all watch what we say. We dress a little bit nicer. We have donuts, coffee, pepperoni pizza, whatever it is. And then we leave and then it's right back to our lives, right? Crack open a beer, do whatever you want. It's different in this walk. This walk has moment by moment responsibility, you know, in order. I think you nailed it. I hadn't really necessarily thought about it like that. People that are just have only experienced the mainstream walk, there's no ownership over it, if that makes sense, you know?
For sure. Another thing they could be thinking of is maybe they were harmed by somebody within the church. And they're you mean to tell me that there's no rules or, and was hidden, it was potentially hidden by the church too. You mean there's no rules and this same person who just harmed me is going to get into the same heaven that I'm supposed to get into. And there's no requirements in order. All we have to do is confess this one thing and then we're automatically in.
Right.
So I'm going to be stuck with this tormentor for the rest of my life. If there's no consequences, then I'm going to get into something that's going to directly, what they're thinking, probably thinking is going to directly benefit me.
Sure.
I mean, there might be some resentment just from people who claim to be followers of him.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example because that happens all over the place. The difference being is in this walk, I mean, that we're in, right? Walking the most as obedient as we can. If somebody slips up, there is a time of correction, right? There is an action taken. There is something happens to correct that wrong. It doesn't mean that you put them into open shame. We even see that through the Testament of the 12 patriarchs, concealing the sins of your brothers, right, is seen as an honorable thing, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't correction.
Yeah.
And things were just let continue as an endless cycle of depravity, you know? And that's the one thing I love about this walk is not only does it hold me accountable for my actions, but I know that it holds my brothers and sisters to a higher level of accountability, you know, which in turn makes me trust them more, you know, it's.
Yeah. I actually learned this from an old school preacher, but he's he was talking about marriage and everything, but it's true with friendships and just community too. It's if you have two people and they're both working towards, and he was using the name Jesus, and they're both working towards Jesus, they're naturally going to get closer and closer as they get closer to that. They're going to get closer to each other as they get closer to that central focus point.
Hmm.
But you can overlay the same idea just with correct scripture and everything.
Like, for sure.
If you're like you have a group of people that are all focusing on getting closer to Yah, then that group of people is just automatically going to get closer together, because as you focus in on one central point, you're all getting closer to that point, closing in on that triangle, and not trying to get in any weird symbolism.
It's just no. Yeah, I didn't take it like that.
Yeah. I know some people get sketched out about triangles.
Right, yeah, that's so true. I remember as a kid, you know, there would be a box and have a square, a circle, and a triangle, and I'd be trying to jam the right shapes into the right holes, you know? Like, it's pretty harmless, but... Oh, man.
I have a child that just hands me the shape and says, Dada, help.
You know she knows. Oh. She knows.
She 100% knows. She just knows that. She also knows that Dada will just do it.
Yeah, but in her mind, she's like, you know what? I think Dad needs to have fun too. Yeah. You know, like, we need to include him on this party.
Yeah. We are putting these shapes through these shapes.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Real quick, because nobody is the one that showed me this book, that Winky Wonky Donkey. The Wonky.
Oh,
Donkey.
Yeah.
I picked that up on this last trip for.
Oh, okay.
Favorite book. It's about this like three-legged donkey that is got some troubles.
Yeah.
Just like every other page you're saying, like, the honky tonky winky wonky donkey just keeps adding on to the description of this donkey every page, and it's just a funny thing for a little child to hear.
Yeah, so, like
looking at like books to get like a toddler to young child. I don't know the names of the groups. Somewhere between like 0 and 5, I'd say. Get That's a fair. Wonky Donkey book.
Yeah, it's harmless, and it's just like the word salad of rhyming words makes them giggle and laugh. It's cute. Yeah. It's...
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. It's just that deep belly laugh.
Yeah.
Saying nonsense. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, man. Well, guys, if you guys have any questions or comments or anything to say about it, you can leave us a comment down in the below in the comment section of the video, or you can shoot us an email, exiledstrangers@proton.me. Oh, snap. It's up there again. exiledstrangers@proton.me. You got anything to add, nobody?
Look, I this isn't my hill to die on with this topic. I just feel like if more people were to just give an effort into searching out just even a little bit and start to break down some of these lies, it'll just help to navigate the world a little better until the kingdom comes, you know? I mean, our whole reality is based in lies as far as the world's concerned.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. It's not like my hill to die on. Like, you can still for sure get to the truth. This is just an aspect of the truth.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, I wouldn't say the truth. This is just an aspect of it. So if it's something you're just not interested in, or you don't feel like diving down into this rabbit hole, then, I mean, it's not going to change your day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. And if someone still thinks it's a globe, like, I'm not going to make fun of you, and I'm not going to hate you. This isn't a topic that I've ever broken fellowship over, but I know people who have.
Wild.
It is. We have weightier topics that are actually like impactful as far as how we need to walk in our relationship with our Father Yahuwah through his Son Yahusha. That is what's important. It's fun, you know. To me, it explains a lot more.
I mean, to me, it shows that we're just like a lot more intentional than what, even in the mainstream church or like a. Like, was it astrology? Astronomy?
Yeah, astronomy.
Astronomy would lead you to believe. It's just, yeah.
I mean, and in all fairness, the heliocentric model was created by sun worshippers, so.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that, but.
Yeah. Pretty on the nose there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also, like, what is it? What's the further meaning of having the sun as the center of the universe, too? not just like the deception of the globe of this being like an infinite, you know, universe or whatever, but also the sun being the center of our galaxy and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. Man. Surprise, well, guys, they lied to us again.
They did it.
Man. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see you.
See you later.